بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's live edition of Living the Legacy. It is a weekly program where together we look at ways and means on how to live our legacy. And there are many ways, many avenues on how to live our legacy, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those servants of His that inshallah are able to do so in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that we earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that we are amongst the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants. And one of the ways for you and I to live a legacy is inshallah to ensure that the fara'id, the basics of our deen, are implemented and applied. And we're talking this month specifically about one act of worship that we each do on a daily basis. We do this 5 times a day, a minimum, and we do this throughout our lives. And what we want to be able to do is to recognize that while salah is something we do every day, we should not be taking it for granted. It should not be something that we do as parrot fashion, and that we do in a way where we are not conscious and not aware of what we are doing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those servants of His who are conscious and who are aware of their actions at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in this regard. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Now when we talk about salah, because it's something we do every single day, what happens for many of us is we take it for granted. We do our salah and we recognize it to be something that we have to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And often we use terms and language and words such as, I need to get done with my salah. I need to finish my salah. As though it is a chore or a task or an errand that we are doing. So in this context, we want to check in with ourselves. So I see salah as that chore, that task, that tick-off point on my list. How am I viewing Salah? Later on today's program, inshallah, we speak to a renowned Islamic scholar from Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, and we talk to him today as he explains to us on the topic of Salah and Khushu. We start understanding what Khushu is, and we bring our understanding to that, and then we're going to, with our guest, discover what are the keys to having Khushu. We'll also be answering a question on how do we overcome feeling distracted or unfocused in our salah. We'll talk about that, inshallah, later on in today's program. We're also encouraging you and inviting you to share your reflections with us. How has the 5 daily salah changed your life? What are some of the tools that you've used or implemented in your life so that you could experience a greater or deeper level of khushu? As always, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what works for you. Salah is something we want to constantly be developing in our lives. And for it to develop means that we are establishing it on a regular daily basis. So what are you doing to establish salah in your life? What are you doing to ensure that you can move beyond just praying 5 times a day, but rather to start recognizing how can I pray with more meaning, with more value, with more depth, with more focus? How can my salah start being that truly, that coolness of my eyes? How can my salah start being that relief for my soul, that comfort to my heart? These are the questions we're asking you to reflect upon, and you're most welcome to share with us your tools and how you have been working on your khushu, or even how salah, the pillar of Islam, has started changing your life. Feel free to drop us an anonymous message to the WhatsApp or Telegram number of +60 13 260 8592, or email to us at hana@radioislamlive.com. Now, before we get into today's topic, one of the things that we're going to talk about as part of our personal development is the topic of forgiveness. And this is something that comes up regularly with many of our listeners who say, I'm struggling to forgive.
To forgive someone about something.
It could be something that happened 10 years ago or 2 days ago. How do I learn to forgive? Or rather, before I learn to forgive, why am I struggling to forgive? Help me understand why I struggle to forgive. And so here are 7 of the main reasons why most of us struggle to forgive. The first is we're scared that forgiveness justifies pain that has been caused. The second is we're not ready to grieve the experience. So we all skip the grieving of that experience and expect to be healed instantly. The third is we are worried that by forgiving, we make ourselves more vulnerable to being hurt again. And that's not necessarily true. The fourth is that we believe forgiveness is the same as reconciliation, but it is not. The fifth is we are scared to face and process our emotions. The sixth is that by refusing to forgive, we maintain this false sense of control over the experience or the person. And the seventh is we are not ready to change the relationship we have with what has happened. So these are some points to explore in the topic of trying to understand why do we struggle to forgive. It's a topic that we've often looked at, and we will continue to explore it, inshallah, in the weeks to come. For now, we turn our focus and attention to our primary theme of the program. We're talking about the establishment of Salah. And joining us live on our program today is a renowned Islamic scholar from Pietermaritzburg and no stranger to the airwaves of Radio Islam. We're speaking to our guest today, Maulana Ahmed Akul from Pietermaritzburg. Maulana, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, sister, and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khair, Mawlana. Today we're talking and sharing with our listeners our current theme on establishing Salah. We will want to take the act of worship, this beautiful ibadah, beyond just saying, I have to pray my Salah and I'm done with my Salah, to establishing it as the Quran teaches us. So our topic today is about Salah and Khushu. So Mawlana, we often hear these words together. And if we can begin, can Mawlana give us a foundation, an understanding of what does it mean when we hear the word Khushu? And what would it look like when we translate that into a practical example? What does that Khushu look like in Salah?
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الفيزيز ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في سنتريتيشن في أقوال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected listeners, I think first and foremost, let's take one step back and understand the concept of this divine gift of prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So one of the most beautiful explanations that I've come across with regards to telling us what is Salah, they say that it is the joining factor between a slave and between his creator. That means it's your link between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indeed the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to us as the ummah, where we have a direct connection between us and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beauty of the prayer that we have been given. Generally, when you would need to contact somebody else, they would be sometimes an intermedium, or you would have to go via a certain channel to get through to somebody. Even in this world, if you have to phone some high-ranking person, then there's different means and methods that you will have to use to get through to that person. But when it comes to the aspect of Salah, then this is your direct connection between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no intermedium, there's no channel that you will go through. It's you and Allah. So that's the first place that we would start. And then coming to this important aspect of khushu, as you said, which is always correctly mentioned together with Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse number 2 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Those who are devoted in their prayer. So the basic translation of the word khushu would be devotion in Salah. So you have the aspect of prayer, but then there's a deeper and broader aspect with regards to Salah, and that is your khushu, where in the Salah itself, your mind, your heart, everything is focused entirely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that would be the simplest way for us to understand the translation of the word khushu. And when it comes to the broader aspect of khushu, then this has been explained quite extensively by many of the scholars from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them translated as khaifun, those who are fearful in their salah, and rightly so, because you are standing in the divine court and presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also at the same time, it's a balance between you being fearful of Allah and sakinun, and that peace and tranquility that's supposed to overcome you because you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to khushu as khushu'ul qalb, that a person's heart is entirely focused and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're standing in salah. And Hassan Basri, the great scholar of the age, he said, كَانَ خُشُوعُهُمْ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. People who are in prayer, their hearts are supposed to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when your heart is entirely focused on Allah in prayer, then he said, فَغَضُّوا بِذَٰلِكَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Automatically your gaze drops out of humility because now your heart is entirely devoted to Allah. And he said, your limbs become subservient to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. That definition just resets our minds, I think, when I'm into understanding, you know, we do the salah every day, but to recognize the gift that we have every single day in our lives. We're getting messages from listeners asking if the program will be up on podcast. Yes, inshallah, it will be up later today or tomorrow on podcast. Maulana, when we're talking about this khushu, are there certain keys, certain principles to having khushu? A person may say, this is something I want for myself. This is how I want to value my salah. This is how I want my salah to be life-changing. What are those principles? What are those keys? How would we start, Maulana?
I think the important principle is we have to focus, each one of us as individuals have to reflect on the concept of prayer in our lives as individuals. Yes, alhamdulillah, we are so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And by and large, in most instances, we will find ourselves in a situation that we've been born as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've grown up as young Muslims attending a madrasa, and we were taught the practical demonstration of salah from a very young age, that this is how we would perform our prayer. But what is more important is that now that we're adults and now that we are have grown up in life, what we need to do is we need to focus on the deeper concept of prayer. Is it only us going through the motions? Is it just verbal recitations of the various tasbih or the recitation of Suratul Fatiha? What is the salah all about? That's the most important thing, because when we ponder over this, we will realize that it's an entire world on its own. And the more we focus on trying to concentrate in our salah and this whole concept of this divine, beautiful gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then it will really give a whole different feeling in our prayer, and definitely it will help us and assist us to gain concentration, especially the devotion that is the demand of salah. Because remember, this is your ultimate ticket to success, because I made reference to verse number 2 of Suratul Mu'minun earlier on, where Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are devoted in their salah, that's verse number 2. Verse number 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that all the believers have attained success. And the first recipe or the first step towards that ultimate success is أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who are devoted in their salah. So that's your first step towards ultimate success, or perhaps your main step towards ultimate success. The narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so numerous and are so vast and are so many with regards to this whole concept of salah in the life of a believer and how important it is for each and every one of us. The most common narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first thing a person will be reckoned with the day we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our prayer. If that is in order, and if you've ticked that box in your life in this world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in a nutshell, I'm just giving you the understanding, it will be a green light all the way to Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further stated that if there's any shortfalls found in a person's prayer, the day we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's going to be a bumpy, rocky, windy, twisty road till if eventually we reach Jannah. But if your salah is in order, then it's a green light all the way. So we need to ponder over all these aspects, and automatically, just by pondering over it, we will find ourselves standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a totally different way compared to how we perhaps stood before him all along. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest you can ever get to Allah in this transitory life of this world is when you are in prostration and in sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you can't get any closer. It's not possible to get any closer to Allah than in the position of sajda, because that's the closest you can ever get to him. And we get that opportunity how many times a day? In fact, when we look at giants and scholars of the past, they were such that their hearts literally yearned to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would lead their lives in such a way that it would basically be from adhan to adhan. They would wait, when is my next call to prayer? And the moment that call to prayer would come, they would hurry, they would rush to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that salah would conclude, it would be the same thing. It would be restlessness. It would be uneasiness. You know, when your heart is attached to something, then you want to be in that state all the time. We've got our sports fanatics out there in the world. Perhaps they'll know what they're talking about. For that entire duration, how exhilarating it is. Your heart is pumping. Your mind is focused. You feel like you in the whole match itself. Why? Because your heart has some feeling towards it. When our hearts are attached to salah, that's exactly the same sort of enthusiasm, that same sort of yearning that we will have within ourselves.
SubhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those for whom salah is so beloved, inshaAllah. Mawlana, to begin the salah, so in last week we discussed about wudu and how important it is to make the wudu correctly as well, and how that is that key to salah. So we are now bringing ourselves to the place where we are on the musalla, we are on the prayer mat, and now we make the takbir. So if Mawlana can take us through the symbolism of that. And, you know, what should our thinking be? Our mind space. Now, this is the point where we begin. We enter into the state of ihram in our salah. Can Mawlana take us through the importance of this? And where should our mind space and our heart space be once we are there on the musalla?
SubhanAllah, you know, coming to the starting of our salah. Now, there's so many phrases or tasbihs, what we term as the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many, many phrases. I mean, if you look at the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are 99 attributes and 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if we look at the list of supplications that we say to praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many. There's subhanallah, there's alhamdulillah, there's la ilaha illallah. There's so many things. But what is the statement that has been chosen as takbir tahrima, the opening phrase when you will start your salah? We could have started salah, and perhaps it even could be permissible for you to start your salah with other supplications, but you start your salah with the greatest phrase known to man in this world. And what is that greatest phrase? It is Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. That is how we start off our salah and our prayer. Because when you make the statement again, there's supposed to be a whole mindset with regards to salah. There's supposed to be so much of life in that salah that you're busy in the world, you hear the call to prayer. Now you know it's time for you to answer the call of your Lord, of your Creator, of your Sustainer. So you drop everything that you're occupied with. Whether you're with your family, whether you're in your business, whether you're in your play and amusement, whatever you're doing, now you've heard the call of prayer. And again, the call of prayer starts off with Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There's a reminder that comes instantly that, listen, O slave of Allah, there is nothing greater than Allah. There's supposed to be nothing dearer to you than Allah. So automatically your attention is now turned that my Allah is calling. I need to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you answer that call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By you standing before Allah and saying the same statement, Allahu Akbar. Oh Allah, perhaps I was busy in my business, but there's nothing greater and dearer to me than you. Oh Allah, perhaps I was with my family members, but I've come and there's nothing dearer to me, there's nothing greater to me than you, O Allah. Whatever you're busy with, basically this is the declaration that you are making. Allahu Akbar, O Allah, there's absolutely nothing that is more important to me in my life than you, O Allah. And in fact, scholars even go to the extent of giving us a further demonstration, because we know we raise our hands up when we say the takbir, Allahu Akbar. So they say you need to sometimes also visualize a motion by you lifting your hands up towards your shoulders. And for the men, we lift it up right till our ears. This motion of you lifting your hand up is as if you are moving away everything that would occupy your mind and your life. You're putting it behind your back. And now you're saying, Allahu Akbar. And then remember, we fold our hands after the takbir. So the folding of your hand is also to show that my hands are full. When a person has their hands folded, can you pass anything to that person? Can they receive anything from you? No, you can't, because the hands are now closed. It's not open. So again, it's like a visualization that I'm now totally engrossed and occupied with my creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Gives us a completely different dimension and understanding on this act of worship we often are guilty of doing so quickly, just raising, lifting our hands so quickly and folding. We don't even see if we are raising it correctly, and we don't even have any mindset and correct understanding of what we're doing. May Allah forgive us. Well, we usually end this segment by asking our esteemed guests to share with us advice on some of the challenges that people face when it comes to establishing salah. So today we are focusing on those of us who feel very distracted or we lose focus in salah. And we notice this to be a concern and a challenge for people more and more so in a world where we are, everything moves so fast, where everything, all information is available at, you know, the click of a finger on a button on the screen. And people cannot hold their focus. They cannot hold their concentration. Our concentration muscles have become so weak. Our mind flitters from one space to the next. So for those of us today who are feeling distracted, we lose our focus in salah. We haven't even completed Al-Fatiha already. Our mind is wandering. And people feel demotivated. They feel, when can I change? When will I change? When will I upgrade the quality of my salah? What advice can Maulana give them? What tips does Maulana have to overcome this distracted state or this lack of focus in salah, please?
I think, sister, sometimes it would be interesting if we could also put a survey out there to ask the question, how many people get distracted from their cell phones? You know, we just get tired of looking at the screen and put the phone away.
Yes.
That would be interesting to see what would be the feedback with regards to that. Okay, one is the challenge that we have with regards to people being punctual with their salah, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all towards goodness and make us all punctual with our salah. But another challenge that we're dealing with is you get those that are not punctual with their salah, and inshallah they will become punctual with their salah. Then we have the challenge of those that might be punctual with their salah, and now we're grappling with this aspect of concentration in salah. Now, first and foremost, we need to understand that at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have an open enemy that is constantly on the attack against us and constantly trying to deter us and distract us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from where we need to be spiritually as believers, and that is shaitan. So it's not that now you started the sacred state of salah and now you are completely protected from any attack of shaitan. No. All the more he's going to attack your mind and your heart and trying to turn your focus away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also described a negative in people who pray, where Allah says, "Alladheena hum fi salatihim sahun," those people who are heedless and totally unmindful in their prayer. So we need to be careful. Sometimes it's beyond your control. And sometimes we could find ourselves in such a situation that the more we're trying to concentrate in salah, the more we're distracted. You know, on a lighter note, somebody came to one scholar and said that, "Maulana, I have a problem. Whenever I'm reading the mass, I'm only thinking about my wife. What can I do? You know, it's worrying me." So the Maulana said that, "You know, brother, I think you need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're lucky. You should make shukr. Sometimes people could be performing salah and they're thinking of somebody else's wife." You know, the mind runs in different directions, and sometimes it's beyond our control. So what we need to do is, first and foremost, the ideal way for you to really get to the proper concentration in salah is one great scholar said, perform every prayer of yours as if it is your last prayer. So just visualize for a moment, if it's now the time of God that is going to present itself to us in about 2 hours a time, and you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask yourself one question. If it was known and revealed to me that this Dhuhr Salah that I'm going to perform today is the last prayer of my life, how would I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we keep that in front of our mind before we perform each Salah, I can assure you that definitely there will be a different sort of concentration in that Salah. And often, sometimes, you know, when it's a Jummah platform and I'm speaking about the aspect of Salah, it's a lengthy discussion, then when I mention this, I say that on the other hand, we could also possibly find a situation that you would never want that Salah to end, because sometimes we're fearful of the concept of us leaving this world and the concept of death. But we're using it in the aspect of us gaining concentration in Salah. So just let that thought run through your mind, that if this was my last Salah, how would I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And automatically you will see there's a different mindset. And number two is, don't try and fight the thoughts that run through your mind in Salah, because sometimes we'll end up in an emotional turmoil and battle within our hearts and within our mind, and then you'll realize that you actually lost all your concentration in Salah because you were trying to fight the thought that came into your mind. So sometimes just ignore it. Concentrate on your recitation. That's another key and focal point for us to focus on. Just keep concentrating on everything that you're reciting in Salah. So from your takbir, Allahu Akbar, you've concentrated on that. Then your Suratul Fatiha, concentrate on your recitation. When you bow in, concentrate on the fact that you're saying Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. And when we do this, we'll also notice that there will be more quality in our Salah. It won't be just emotions of us moving up and down. Sometimes people performing Salah perform it in such a rapid way, as if you're rushing, as if someone is chasing you. No. Remember, you're in Allah's divine court, as one beautiful thing I came across mentioned, that never rush your prayer for anything, because whatever you are rushing for, the one that's in charge, you are in His presence. So Allah is in charge of everything. We feel that I'm rushing, I need to get back to work. Allah is the one that's in charge of your sustenance. What's the need for you to rush when you're in His divine presence? Whatever it is, don't rush that Salah, because Allah is the one that's in charge, and you in His divine court, you spending time praying to Him, He's definitely going to give you goodness in every aspect of your life. So concentration on our recitation is also a very effective way of us increasing our concentration in Salah. And I think perhaps we could be coming towards the close of this program today. One wonderful quotation I came across, it goes as follows, that many out there go to the gym to keep their bodies fit. And then you get those beautiful individuals that go to Salah to keep their souls fit. So we're so worried about our bodies being fit. Salah is that action and that aspect of prayer that will keep your soul fit. Fit for what? Fit for the day that you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, will that which will subsequently lead us towards the journey that goes to Jannah.
Inshallah, Ameen, Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Mawlana, for giving us these tips for lots of motivation and upliftment. No doubt for each of us listening today, a chance to reflect, to take action, and to recognize the gift of Salah that we have with us every single day, and to not take this for granted, and to realize how Salah indeed is life-changing. Jazakumullah khair, Mawlana, for making time for us despite your very busy schedule. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Ameen.
I mean, inshallah, that we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of benefit firstly for ourselves and all out there, inshallah, that Salah is the most important aspect in our life. And if there's no Salah in the life of a person, you know, the Umar radiallahu anhu said, whoever does not have the concept of Salah in their life, then they cannot be deen in that person. In fact, he would make that the first and foremost criteria to judge any person in terms of leadership in his era. He would first look at the Salah of that person, and he would say that if a person cannot be punctual with their Salah and cannot be devoted to their Salah, then they cannot be devoted to anything else in their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.
Ameen, ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We have been speaking to Mawlana Ahmed Aku from Pietermaritzburg, a renowned Islamic scholar who shared with us primary practical tips on what you and I can do on a daily basis. Firstly, understanding what is khushu and understanding what it means to implement it in our salah. Mawlana also shared some valuable tips and motivation for those of us who are experiencing or feeling distracted or lack of focus when it comes to our salah. We go for our ad break, and when we return, we continue understanding how salah is life-changing. Stay with us. A very warm welcome if you've just joined us. We are talking about the establishment of salah and how salah impacts our lives, how it changes our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it helps us to stay on the straight path. We're talking about establishing salah, and so we are going beyond the topic of just praying five times a day, but saying, what does it mean? What's the difference in praying my salah and establishing my salah? Last week, we also looked at the topic of salah. We looked at preparing for salah, the mindset, and today, our guest Mawlana Ahmed Akul explained to us more on the topic of khushu. So, what we are doing now is looking at how salah is actually life-changing. It's something we rarely talk about because it's something we feel we do every day. We know how to pray salah, we know the different recitations in salah and the basic rules. But what's so important for us to honor this gift of salah, to appreciate it, to want to make an effort to upgrade our salah and the quality of that salah, is for us to be reminded about how salah truly is life transforming. So today I want to share with you the story of one sister who wrote about how salah has changed her life. She says, "The other day I had a breakthrough with my salah. It was a turning point where I became very aware of this incredible and probably not at all that surprising change that took place. 2 days ago, I had a very busy day with the children. It was so much running around that I just couldn't get to pray salah. It just never happened. After putting the kids to sleep, I realized I had only prayed Fajr. That meant I had missed 4 salah. Now, someone may say it's easy to make up 2 salah, but 4? I went back and forth with myself, thinking maybe I could just make it up the next day. It was 15 rak'ahs to make up, and I was exhausted after a long day. It was decided I would just double up the next day. As I started to sit down to drink some tea and wind down with a show on Netflix, the strange guilty feeling came over me. Who was I kidding? I knew I wouldn't make up the salah the next day. It was now or never. So I got up, made wudu, and prayed all 4 salah. That was my turning point. I was thinking to myself lately that so much has changed for me since I started praying salah." She writes, "I narrowed it down to 3 things that were most obvious to me, but I know for sure I will happily encounter more as I continue this journey." So the sister shares with us 3 key aspects that have changed her life simply because of salah. Number 1, time. When consistent in my salah, I became more aware of time. Rather than be caught up with my daily duties, the kids, or whatever else comes my way, I was paying attention to salah times. I didn't want to miss a salah, so I had to watch the time very carefully. I had to finish things in a timely manner. I had to get ready faster to make sure I prayed before heading out somewhere. Hours no longer pass without me noticing. Additionally, there is more barakah in my time. I get more done in less time. Many of us read about time management. We go to a coach to help us with time management. All of this may help. Yes, alhamdulillah. But as Muslims, if we are truly to understand what time management is and to really implement it in our lives, Allah teaches us to value time. The second is fear. She writes, for a while I had this fear that came over me at night. My imagination would get the best of me. I had read about people trying to break in, and I don't know why, every night I felt like it was going to happen. I even talked to my husband about this. To take it further, I would sleep with the bathroom light on in my room and still jump at any sounds. The other night, I realized I slept in the dark. I realized I didn't have this overwhelming feeling of fear. I was no longer developing plans in my head for what I would do if someone tried to break in. It just all went away. I started to feel safe and secure. And the third is sleep. Anyone who knows me knows I am able to function on very little sleep. 3 to 4 hours and I could go through the day. I'd be exhausted but still make it through. For a long time, my sleep, no matter how many hours I got, was interrupted. Yes, I have a baby, and he used to wake up a lot, but even when he would sleep long stretches, I didn't. I'd wake up often. Either it would be a nightmare that startled me, something really painful, scary, or horrific. Or else, I'd just find myself awake, lost in thought, and unable to get to sleep. That changed too. I found that I slept deeper and longer and woke up more energetic, ready to pray Fajr and start my day. Although it can be hard to pray on time or even pray with any sort of focus, I have found it is important to continue. I have come to terms with the fact that even though my salah is not perfect, I will continue. I sometimes pray with my children hanging off my back or nagging at me for a snack, but I do not miss my salah any longer. It is all about me connecting to Allah. It is about me creating a habit for my children to grow up seeing. And inshallah, they too will make salah a big part, the main part of their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those for whom salah is the most valuable part of their lives and of their days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to see that salah is something life-changing, that we cannot simply exist in a bubble in which salah is not a part of our lives. That we need salah, that we need to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our salah. You know, when you speak to people who have embraced Islam, when you speak to people who come to Islam, they will tell you how the beauty of salah has changed their lives for the better. For those of us that have been praying salah for many years, praying salah as children, seeing our parents pray, let us not take it for granted. In times of hardship, pain and loss, many of us try to find solutions in the very dunya that causes the calamities we have. And so we search for temporary comfort in people and places and worldly objects, all of which have the potential to break us again. Some of us will find relief in medication, in counseling, in having people listen to us. But Allah has given us the best tool of all, salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help through patience and salah. And indeed, it is difficult except for the humbly submissive to Allah. So who better to call upon than Allah? Who better to seek ease from pain and hardship than Allah? Does salah heal? Yes, it does. Allah tells us in the Quran, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured. Dr. Andrew Newsberg of the University of Pennsylvania attempts to enlighten us with this hidden wisdom. He studied brain wave activity during prayer and found a direct impact on several brain locations. The benefits of salah are incredible. Regular daily salah halts the frontal lobe from shrinking with age, which is the part of the brain which is responsible or regulates our speaking, reading, and memory. And so it helps prevent memory loss in old age. But they also found that in salah, the high activity which is found in the anterior cingulate, the location that regulates our connectivity to others. So which means that with salah, we develop a healthier and a happier personality. They also found in research that our self-awareness is in the parietal lobe. And the overuse of this causes feelings of isolation or loneliness. And the limbic system, where our negative emotions are situated. It was found with research that salah deactivates both of these areas in the brain, that it removes the negative emotion, that it allows us to benefit from the frontal lobe and the anterior cingulate. The result? A healthier, happier, and longer life, inshallah. We need not look further to see that salah is beneficial for us, that salah makes us healthier and happier, that salah is a healer in and of itself, that salah reactivates regions of the brain that make us happier and that rid us of negativity, that salah is a means to bring us to a state of tranquility, that the more regular our salah and the more deeper our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the more beneficial it is for us. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam relied on salah as a source of comfort. And as we all know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indeed tested with many trials and tribulations in his time. And it is with salah, it is in salah that he found mental calmness. We know and understand that the prayer, the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always with great humbleness, with full concentration, and with sincere submission to Allah. This is known as the state of khushu', a state of full awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we direct our minds and our hearts to Allah alone. And this is the state we want to aim for in our salah. It is the state that we will find the biggest stimulation in the brain. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not only pray salah at times of need, but he would pray in all situations and all occasions. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray to thank Allah, to seek Allah's forgiveness, to ask for Allah's protection and guidance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often pray for rain, for decision making, before undertaking a journey, and even during battles. The list is endless. And there was not a prayer that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi would offer except that through the mercy of Allah, it was brought about some sort of blessing, guidance, or ease. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those for whom salah holds great value, for whom salah is the essence of their life, for whom salah is a priority. May Allah make us of those who constantly work to upgrade our ibadah of salah, who love their salah, and who devote time and effort to improving their connection and their link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those special favored servants who when we pray as though it is our last salah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the close of today's live edition of Living the Legacy. Join us next Tuesday as we continue learning more in this journey of establishing salah in our lives. Until then, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.